The NBA Finals are finally done, and Paul Gasol needs to take some dance lessons. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com and FantasyNews.CBSSports.com. I almost said baseball podcast, football podcast.
There's so many.
Mr. Podcast, this might as well be my name. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is Sergio Gonzalez. You can hear some of our other podcasts, Fantasy Playbook and Fantasy Hit and Run, as well as our U.S. Open Golf Preview podcast, if you're still listening to it for golf. They preview pretty much most of the major golf tournaments. That's with Ross Devonport, our former, well, I guess still our golf writer of the year, Fantasy Golf Writer of the Year, the former winner. He was the 2007 winner. And you can also hear some NHL podcasts that we do as well. Again, this is basketball, trying to get my head wrapped around the round ball and the Lakers winning. I don't think a lot of surprise there, Sergio, to a lot of people listening to this. Although, Courtney Lee makes a layup. Dwight Howard hits a couple free throws.
It's a series.
And we could have been talking about a Game 7, potentially, with the Orlando Magic heading back to L.A. with a 3-2 lead, as opposed to ending it in Game 5 down, or finished at 4-1. Any surprises on your end about the way the finals went down and Kobe being the MVP? Just your thoughts on the Lakers as a whole, and then we'll get into the Magic a little bit.
No, I think it's like you said, the only surprise really was that the Magic really actually did have a chance to make it a series, which in my opinion, I know most of us thought that the Lakers were going to have a pretty easy time. I know I picked them in six games, you picked them in
six
also.
Yes.
So we actually fell short of how easy a time, but it really could have been a Magic. The Magic could have gone back to L.A. with a chance to close out the Lakers. Had, like you said, Courtney Lee made that layup. Had Dwight Howard hit free throws, but everybody knows Dwight Howard doesn't hit free throws.
He did in the playoffs, 65%. That's what you get.
Yeah,
you get that all day from him, and you're happy camper.
Yeah, but what was supposed to happen happened, except for the fact that the Lakers weren't playing the Cavs. Everything went the way it was supposed to go in the NBA playoffs. No real surprises.
Just to wrap up our expert picks, you mentioned that you picked the Lakers in six, as did I. You and I are at the bottom of the rung of our five-person expert picks. I think it should be no surprise, however, that Ken Berger, our great NBA writer, wins this thing in a tie with Nunzio Ingracia, one of our editors here.
He wins it in a tie?
He tied for the win. No surprise there. He had 12 right of the playoff matchups, was 3 wrong and 3 bonus.
Way to go, guys.
You, me, and Lyle Krause. I actually tied with Lyle Krause, I guess, for a second. In a five-person race, that doesn't really mean much. With 3 bonus picks right, which means we picked the amount of games that a team would win the series in, and you finished last. You still picked the same amount as myself and Lyle at 11-4, but you only had 1 bonus round. Which was it?
Which round did I pick the right amount?
Yes.
Do you remember? I don't even remember.
Let's see. You had Cleveland over Atlanta in 6. That was wrong. You had Cleveland over Orlando.
Mavericks.
Wrong. You had... That was wrong.
I was wrong a lot, apparently. So, we could probably move on.
I'm just looking at the East right now.
No,
you had Cleveland over Detroit. No, that was wrong. That was wrong. did Orlando take 5 to beat Philly?
In the first round?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
that was it.
Yeah, you had the Heat Rockets. You had the Heat.
All downhill from there.
Hawks wrong.
Hey, I was the only one to predict the Mavericks.
The only one to predict the Mavericks beating the Spurs.
And then that was it.
Or no, wait. I think you had the
I had the Nuggets beating
the Hornets, but that was in 5.
Yeah.
You had it in 6.
In any case, I didn't do very well.
You did fine. 11-4. It's not exactly bad. The winner was 12-3.
Congratulations to those guys.
Yes, nothing to hold your head down about. The Orlando Magic. Some news since they went to the NBA Finals. Hedo Turkoglu opts out of his contract. There was no surprise there, based on his playoff run, his Finals performance, his headbutt of Trevor Ariza. Just a fantastic debut, I guess, on a national scene for him, because I don't think a lot of people, even though our fantasy people listening to this will know that Hedo Turkoglu had a breakout season 2 years ago,
right?
But I think a lot of casual NBA fans will look at Hedo Turkoglu and go, wasn't he that guy in Sacramento? And I think I saw him chucking up some shots for San Antonio 1 year. I was really shocked how young he is. You know how old he is?
29.
He's a little older than he's actually 30.
Okay.
But still, he seems like he's been in the league for almost 15 years. He's one of those Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant type guys that you look at him and go, God, he's been around forever. And then you see his age and you go, wow, he's only 30. I think it's kind of interesting that he still has a lot of good basketball to play. And I think you see, you know, not to jump on the Eric Mack 27-year-old bandwagon, but he has sort of hit his prime.
He's in that window, right?
In his late 20s. And you started to see, you know, he talked about the growing years being on the bench in Sacramento. He said that 1 year in San Antonio did wonders for him in terms of learning how to win and learning how to not just be a scorer. I think he's really shown he could be a good playmaker because he can handle the ball at 6'9", 6'10". He can rebound the ball. He's going to give you 4 or 5 rebounds per game. He could obviously hit the three, and he could be a 15 to 18-point scorer, which you're not going to find many players that can give you, I'll say conservatively, 15, 4, and 4. That's a great thing you can get from a small forward slash small power forward.
Right. He's been a rotisserie hound these last couple years.
Yeah. I would be shocked if Orlando lets him go because he is really their, in my opinion, their most valuable player. He's not their best player.
He's their engine.
He's their engine. That's a good way to describe it. He's sort of the guy that he's the only guy really they can give the ball to create a shot at this point.
Right.
You know, I think Jameer Nelson may be able to grow into that role. But at the same time, he can shoot over most people that are covering him. And he can do so many things for them in such a variety of ways. So they need to really keep him in the mix. You know, they have Rashard Lewis locked up. They have Dwight Howard locked up. Their point guard situation at least for one more year because Rafer Alston will be entering a contract here. So that position is locked up for them. If they lose Turkoglu, they're going to fall back to the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, you're coming off a playoff series where you beat 3 teams, I think. At least 2 teams that won 60-plus games. They played 3 teams that won 60-plus games. They go to the NBA Finals, as we talked about. They're a layup and a foul shot away from potentially, you know, at least going up 3-2 or 3-1, you know, prior to the Game 5 loss.
Right.
Without Turkoglu, I think they fall behind Paul Pierce and the Celtics, which we'll get to in a second, and they fall behind Cleveland. And then you could possibly see one of these teams that could make a move or could just, you know, take the next step, like a Philadelphia. I'll throw the Miami Heat in there. I think you'll see, you know, we've talked about this previous podcast. The Hawks, I think, will be in the mix. I think Washington's a team that's going to really jump back into the fold because of Flip Saunders coming on board and Gilbert Arenas getting healthy, plus a high draft pick. You know, so you look at some of these teams that can leapfrog Orlando if Hito Turkoglu leaves. And then, on top of that, depending on where Turkoglu goes, he can make that team, especially in the Eastern Conference, a factor right away.
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing from the Magic is that they've noticed this also. They've gotten a taste of what it can be like for them to be, along with the Cavaliers, the elite team in the Eastern Conference.
And Boston.
And with Boston, yes. Let's not forget them. And we're hearing from the Magic that they are willing to pay the luxury tax and do whatever it takes. This is what they're saying immediately following the finals. We'll see how it goes as the offseason progresses. They're saying that they'll do whatever it takes to bring back Turkoglu. So they've come to realize how great of a fit, like we've been discussing, he's been, how vital he is to that team's progression. And I do think at this point they're going to do everything that it takes to bring him back. And that's great news for fantasy owners because he's such a great fit there. He's turned into this really a fantasy beast the last couple of years.
Yep.
Thanks to the way he fits into that system. We don't want to tinker trying to fit him into another system, another coaching staff, and maybe him dropping off a bit. Leave him with the Magic. You know what you're going to get with him. And I think it's good news for your fantasy.
Talk about the point guard situation there for a second, because we saw Jameer Nelson really become a factor in the finals when he came back. And when I say a factor, he really, you know, sort of screwed up their rotation a little bit. And Derek Fisher, as we saw, took advantage of that by Jameer Nelson's lack of a little defensive letdown there in that particular time. What happens now, I know we addressed this at a previous podcast, but you look at, we've seen it unfold a little bit. Alston was the starter. Nelson came off the bench. They basically played quarters, you know, until game, I think it was game 4 and a little bit of game 5. Where do you look at these two guys from a fantasy perspective? Nelson, Alston, let's assume it goes back to they look at their franchise as a whole. Nelson's the starter. Alston comes off the bench. Alston entering a contract year, so he does have that trade bait value of expiring contract.
Right.
So what do you look at with these two guys fantasy-wise, team-wise, and individuals?
Well, I think we've discussed this a little bit in the previous podcast, in that the Magic may have done they made a bad move by inserting Jameer Nelson into the mix too much. They're basically using them as co-starters in the finals, and that was a mistake. Jameer Nelson is the guy of the future, and that's clear.
And the present, I think, too.
And the present also, but the present wasn't in the NBA finals.
Not the finals.
He's coming off, like 3.5, 4 months.
He only played 42 games, so he missed at least 3 months.
And for Stan Van Gundy to screw with the rotation at the point that he did, I think was a mistake. But what that makes evident is that Jameer Nelson is the future at the point guard position in Orlando, and Ray Ferguson is once again going to be kicking and screaming on the way out. He was already complaining post-NBA Finals, saying that every team he's ever been on has failed to respect his point guard abilities. He knows he's on his way out, and I think it's a shame because he really is a good point guard, but every team he's been on has looked beyond his abilities. Nobody sees him as even a 3 or 4 year solution. Everybody sees him as just a stopgap.
Yep.
And that's the case in Orlando. He's going to move. I don't know. Looking at teams that need a point guard, Miami could use one. I know Tracy's already been there, but can you think of other teams that where he'd plug in? Because he's a starter. Wherever he goes, he's not. He's made very evident that he's not going to stay quiet and sit on the bench.
It depends on the coach. And I think he's been around Van Gundy now twice. And I think he did have a legitimate complaint this time around.
Oh, absolutely. He's absolutely right.
To voice his concerns. You know, teams that can use a point guard. You mentioned Heat. That's a good one. I think, depending on what Atlanta does with Mike Bibby, he can go there if Bibby leaves. Indiana's a team that can use a point guard because I don't think they're sold on T.J. Ford being a starter.
Right.
Minnesota could always use help at all spots. I think you could look at Dallas, depending on what happens with Jason Kidd. That's an easy one. Other than that, maybe Sacramento. They're not so sold on being
a user. Yeah, the idea here is that he is going to go to a different team.
How about the Knicks?
Sure, Chris Duhon is...
He's not a starter.
That's a great... And that would be huge for his fantasy value. We talked about this in the past.
Sure.
Anybody you plug into that system running and handling the ball as much as the point guard does would be a fantasy beast. And Ray Ferguson under Mike D'Antoni that would be huge.
Yeah, but again, he's not a free agent. He is entering a contract year.
It would take some magic realizing that they'd have a headache on their hands because I think it would... They're not going to be able to go into next season having them as co-starters or whatever they were trying to do.
No, but I will say this, and this is something that Orlando does have in their favor. As you mentioned, they said that they will go over the luxury tax.
Yes.
But in the same breath, they've also said they're not going to pay for Marcin Gortat to come back, who's a restricted free agent.
Right.
And is going to attract a lot of interest from some teams looking for a backup / spot starting fill-in type of center. He's not a go-to dominant center, but somebody will take a gamble on him. The Knicks have already been mentioned as a possible
shooter.
So they could dangle Austin as for a draft pick to unload that salary, which would allow them to spend what they need to spend on Turkoglu and take back something minimal.
And also Rashard Lewis, right? Rashard Lewis is also in a contract situation.
No, he's not. He signed a big deal prior to coming to Orlando. Yeah, their only two big free agent names are this coming offseason are Gortat and now Turkoglu.
Okay.
They're going to get rid of Anthony Johnson, unless they decide to keep him as the backup point guard. They're going to get rid of Tyronn Lue. And everybody else is just a minimal situation. J.J. Redick is entering a contract here next year.
Right.
So we'll see what happens in Orlando and what they decide to do. I think if you look at both guys come back, to me they're no better than number three fantasy guards.
Jermaine Nelson?
Because they're going to eliminate themselves in terms of
value. Right.
Nelson on his own, coming back off the year that he had, which was a career high in points, made the All-Star game, certainly had a great season. He'd be a number two guy if he was the clear-cut starter and Anthony Johnson type of player backing him up. Same thing with Austin, depending on where he would end up. But if they're both with Orlando, not a good situation fantasy-wise.
Absolutely.
And as we talked about previously, if Dwight Howard could just develop a little bit more of an offensive game, there's no need to continue to talk about him. But he had a great postseason run. Certainly still remains a top five fantasy option, and I think he's going to work really hard this offseason to increase his game.
Absolutely.
Looking at the Lakers, Lamar Odom is a free agent. Trevor Reeves is a free agent. Two very big names in terms of what they accomplished postseason-wise.
Right.
I'll pose this question to you. they come back, the Lakers are obviously a championship contender again.
Yes.
If they leave, the Lakers are still going to be a very good team.
Yes.
They're still, in my opinion, when you have Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, Derek Fisher, Jordan Farmar, Luke Walton, they're a top four seed, easy. You know, San Antonio's clearly on the decline.
Absolutely. They'll win those divisions.
Phoenix is on the decline.
Absolutely.
You know, there will be some teams that will step up and challenge them. Denver, obviously, being probably the biggest one. Mm-hmm. I think New Orleans will have a bounce-back season. Dallas will continue to be in the mix. Fantasy-wise, do we want Lamar Odom and Trevor Ariza?
On the same thing.
Back with the Lakers.
Let's be a little greedy here. This is not for you Laker fans out there. I would like to see Trevor Ariza go and Lamar Odom stay.
Why?
Lamar Odom has the better fantasy upside. He can do more scoring-wise. He can do more rebounding. He has more potential to be, at some point, a number two forward. And at times, like we saw this season, be number one forward.
But you say that with the Lakers?
Yes.
Why?
Why is he a number one forward with the Lakers?
Yeah. With Andrew Bynum and Paul Gasol starting?
Because his downfall this season was at the beginning of the year when the Lakers didn't have a role for him. They were using him as basically a six-man option. And Trevor Ariza, he emerged and cut into his minutes.
No.
Yeah, he did.
No, he was a starter. He was a small forward.
Well, but his emergence this at the beginning of the season cut into Lamar Odom's role when we're looking at what his role was the year before with the Lakers. So it was...
enough, I agree with you.
Okay.
To make Trevor Ariza as a clear-cut small forward for them.
Sure.
Where his job is to spot up and shoot three-pointers, play defense, and sort of just get out of the way.
Okay.
Whereas Lamar Odom is a guy that's going to handle the ball. He's going to be more of a point forward.
Agreed. They play completely different. They serve completely different roles.
His role.
But his presence, they weren't playing alongside each other very, very often early on in the season.
No, you're right. I mean, Ariza didn't become really a factor until the second half.
So we get rid of Ariza, and all of a sudden there's a role to be had. He's not going to play the Ariza role, per se, but he is going to play. He can play small forward. He's done in the past.
But they wouldn't do that with those three guys.
I think they play big and play. It wouldn't be great for the state of.
See, I think you're a little off with this one.
All right, enlighten me.
I don't think I've ever seen Phil Jackson go with this particular team that he has. He's never gone with the three big guys of Bynum, Gasol, and Odom, at least for more than a few minutes at a time.
Right. Well, they've rarely been healthy together.
Well, they were for the first half of the season.
Sure.
Before Bynum had a knee injury. To me, I'd like to see Lamar Odom go someplace else from a fantasy perspective.
Okay.
Because I think he's developed at least enough confidence to realize that when he decides to play, he can put up number one forward type numbers, as you mentioned. I think he needs to go to a team where he can start, where he can play 40-plus minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have to worry about coming off the bench. Doesn't have to worry about facilitating a post player and a shooting guard, which he does with this team.
Right.
You know, he has to go to a team where he's going to be the number two option, so he doesn't have all the pressure on him of carrying the offense. We saw him put up great numbers when he was in Miami, when he was playing along Dwayne Wade and Caron Butler.
Absolutely.
He was more the number two guy because Dwayne was, you know, slowly rising up as a rookie, and Butler is another guy that could take the backseat to a lot of different players. To me, I think I would go exactly the opposite of what you said. I would like to see Ariza stay with the Lakers because I think he plays well off Kobe Bryant. I think he plays well off those big guys because he's a guy that you're going to double off of, and he gets those open three-point shots. So, to me, he is a more athletic, he's a better version, and I only bring this up because I covered this team so much. He's a better version and a more athletic version of Jason Kupona. He is a guy that can play off of good guard presence, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. He can play off of good post presence, Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, Shaquille O'Neal. Same thing with what Kupona did, which is why Kupona had that great breakout season. We saw Ariza have it in this playoff run, and especially in the finals. He is a tremendous defender. I mean, you're not going to find a guy that's going to steal the ball as a role player the way he does. I just think that Ariza stays in L.A. He's from L.A.
It makes more sense money-wise also for the Lakers. That's the reason.
Went to UCLA. So I just think that it benefits his value to stay there. He's never going to be an elite fantasy option because we saw him bounce around the league a little bit. He was in New York. He was in Orlando. Again, I think he finally just feels comfortable. He's a third or fourth option on a team. You know, that's just
he's a guy to start when they're playing the Golden State Warriors.
Yes. Those type of
leagues. The matchup based
or those daily formats, right. Definitely a good option there. But to me, Lamar Odom is a guy that needs to be on the court. We've seen, you mentioned his numbers. The minute Andrew Bynum went down, Lamar Odom went from, middle of the pack guy, borderline number two, number three fantasy option, to a top 10 forward. And that's what he's capable of. He can carry a team. If you were to tell me Andrew Bynum's leaving, love Lamar. You were to tell me Paul Gasol's leaving, I think Lamar would be good, not as good. To me, he's a number two, number three option on a team that can just rise to the occasion when he goes through those stretches of just being a dominant force. So if those guys come back, I think they still maintain their roles. But Lamar Odom, to me, is a guy, he'll be around a double-double. He is a 11, 12-point scorer when he's coming off the bench, when Bynum is healthy, and he's going to give you 8 to 9 rebounds a game. He's going to chip in with a few assists. He's going to get you a couple steals, a couple blocks in that range. But to me, he could be much, much better if he leaves and goes elsewhere. Where he goes, I don't know, but he can be a guy that can dominate the ball and be very successful.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
That's really the only issues with the Lakers. Obviously, they're going to be back in the mix again. All right, let's look around the league a little bit before we wrap this up. The draft is coming up. We are recording this on June 18th, so the draft is 1 week away. We will do one more of these podcasts following the draft, in which time we will get into a lot of fantasy implications, because I'm sure at that point there will be some trades.
There'll be some trades.
Because there's always going to be trades around draft day. Okay, some trades that are being thrown around the league at this point. The biggest one, I think, from an NBA perspective, Shaquille O'Neal
to the
Cavaliers. The guys being bounced around. I know Ben Wallace, I think, is in the mix.
Yeah.
It's just basically Cleveland's garbage for Shaquille O'Neal.
They got to make the money work
to get the money to match up.
Right. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it from Shaquille O'Neal's fantasy perspective. I think we saw a little bit of a renaissance last year in Phoenix, especially in the second half with the coaching change. I think in Cleveland, he'll have to go back to deferring more so than he was doing in Phoenix. And his numbers stand to drop, I think, in Cleveland, unfortunately, in a team that's not as potent enough as Cleveland's a high flying team, but they're not scoring 120 points per game like the Phoenix Suns would be. And I just don't think on a team with LeBron James, he'll be able to emerge the way he did last year.
I would agree if one thing happens. If they do make the trade, don't give him a new contract.
Don't give Shaq a new contract.
Hungry
Shaq.
Because if he comes into this year on the last year of a deal, no matter where he's playing, if he's playing in Cleveland, I do think he is very, especially now that Kobe has a ring, he is very hungry to get a ring. So the one thing that's a benefit, you pair him with a great player, and the fact that he's not going to be double-teamed as much because you really have to worry about LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, it's a great trio if you put Shaq as really the number two option.
Great move for the Cavs.
With Mo Williams on the court.
Right.
Delonte West, if he's still part of this. You look at the players they put around Shaq. I think it's, at this point, probably more talent than what he'd be dealing with in Phoenix. Let's not forget, Shaq had such a great season. Amar'e Stoudemire wasn't there for a big part of it.
Yeah.
So, we don't
know. He started to emerge even before. Agreed.
But we don't know what it's going to be like, because really at the time, it was the coaching transformation from to Alvin Gentry in Phoenix. Amar'e got hurt. We didn't see Gentry bring back the Mike D'Antoni sort of system,
right,
and see how it all worked with Shaq, with Amar'e, and how it all got put together.
Sure.
You're also talking about him going to a situation where the guy handling the ball, as great as Steve Nash is much younger, is much bigger, and is much more talented. So LeBron James will get Shaq the ball as long as Shaq is motivated and can get up and down the floor. But yes, I would agree with you. I think fantasy-wise, he's a little bit better in Phoenix, but as long as there's no contract in place, I'll take him playing alongside LeBron James. The only detractor would be is if Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Anderson Varejao are still there, because Mike Brown, when it comes to defensive situations, he's going to lean on those two guys probably just a little bit more than Shaq, even though Shaq and Ilgauskas are probably similar in terms of their defensive prowess,
right,
at this point. But it's an interesting trade.
There'll also be, if that happens, there'll be more of a chance for the Cavs to try to keep Shaq healthy by giving him a game off here and there.
Yes.
Where in Phoenix, he's really the guy that has to play. Yeah, like he did last year.
Yep.
He ended up playing a lot more games than he'd been in recent years.
But don't forget, they also gave him some planned days off as well, just to make
sure. And that's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I think you can see Shaq. He's going to be in the 65 to 70 game range.
Yes.
He's not going to be back to 50, but he's certainly not going to be closer to 82.
Right.
The other interesting trade that's being talked about, which the Minnesota Timberwolves have shot down, I think probably smart on their part, Amari Stoudemire for Al Jefferson. I'll tell you the reason why I think it's a good thing that they shot it down. There's no guarantee that Stoudemire would stay in Minnesota. I almost think it's a certainty that he would leave after the one season when he becomes a free agent because nobody wants to stay in Minnesota. You know, it's just not a good destination spot to land free agents. And I think Al Jefferson, more polished.
Jefferson,
Stoudemire
brings
a tremendous amount of athleticism. He's going to run the floor. He's going to be a dynamic force. He can score. He can do so many things for you. But Jefferson's a back-to-the-basket player. He's a guy you can throw the ball into, command double teams, and just really dominate a game. Even coming off the ACL injury, I think he's going to be fine. And I hope that he stays. But this is a trade that it wouldn't be surprising if they pulled it off because which name is more flashier to put on the marquee?
Absolutely. But at the same time, I don't think with the coaching change in Minnesota now, I don't think it'd be fair without them establishing who their next head coach is going to be to make this kind of move, get rid of a young player, because Jefferson is younger than Stoudemire. They're both young players.
Yes.
A young building block player like Al Jefferson without the new coach having any input, I don't think that'd be fair at all. I don't think that Ken Berger, our excellent NBA writer, came out right away, shot it down. He said, there's no way this is going to happen. It turned out to be right. I think this is more hot air than anything else.
Yeah, his column is, I hate to keep being that guy, you know, the guy who takes a perfectly delicious and sensible trade rumor and swats it into the fourth row. Sadly, I am stopping by the Burger Sphere once again just long enough to ruin your day. So that's what he says about the trade.
And he was absolutely right.
Yes, I think it definitely makes sense to kill that trade. But, again, it's interesting fodder, and it's going to get a lot more ratcheted up as we get closer to the trade, the draft deadline when that happens. Ken Berger also writes that the Warriors are not looking to shop Monta Ellis. I guess that's been some rumors out there because of Golden State's unhappiness with what happened with Ellis last year, and that led to some contract issues after he signed a big deal. He's right. It makes no sense for them to try and shop him. He's going to be fine. They'll get those issues ironed out.
They want to get rid of Jamal Crawford anyway.
Well, it's up to Jamal Crawford. He has to opt out of his contract, which I think is almost a done deal come the end of this month. So we'll see how all that unfolds. You mentioned the coaching change in Minnesota. Sergio likes to do what Kevin Love did and sort of inform the world about things that happen. Like, he likes to tell us, you know, what he's going on with his life before we see him. So Sergio goes to his Twitter account. I believe it is twitter.com/SergioGonzalez, correct?
Sergio HE519.
Sergio, so it's twitter.com/SergioHE519.
519.
You can find him on there. Follow all of his tweets about the NBA and all that breaking news information because that is where he puts it. You can also check out my Twitter account, which is twitter.com/JamieEisenberg. You can also check out Dave Richard, our fantasy football writer, twitter.com/DaveRichard. And I believe Eric Mack also.
Yes.
twitter.com/EricMack for all of your fantasy baseball news. And you can check out twitter.com, I believe it is, /CBSSports.com/fantasy.
Yes.
CBS Sports Fantasy. In any event, if you can't find that, you
just search for CBS.
You can look at Sergio's page or my page.
There
you go. Link to it as well. We will, like I said, we'll do this at least one more time for the NBA draft, and we'll get into a lot of our fantasy picks there. We're going to do a fantasy basketball mock draft following the NBA draft, so you'll know where we think the rookies should go. I don't think there's a lot of rookies in this class that are going to make a big fantasy impact.
No. I hear a lot of talk about teams wanting to trade down. This isn't exactly the deepest draft class. I think we're going to see a lot of movement come draft.
Yeah, Blake Griffin doesn't excite me at all. You know, Ricky Rubio to me, you know, these young European guys, I have to see them play first.
We saw them in the Olympics a little bit.
Yeah.
Not as much as we like to.
We also saw, you know, Yi in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's true. Sun Yi.
Well, no, not, I mean, he's young, you know, a couple years back.
Sure.
You know, so these guys, you know, I have to sort of see them play first before I get excited about it. So we'll see how the draft unfolds and who takes who and where they end up. But, we'll get into that at our next podcast. So we appreciate you guys listening. You can listen to us at cbssports.com and fantasynews.cbssports.com. You can also download our podcast on iTunes. And, again, you'll see all of our podcasts there, Fantasy Hit and Run, our baseball podcast, Fantasy Playbook, our football podcast. And please, we encourage you to send us emails, dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. That's dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. For Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening.